everyone, and welcome to my second episode of Seeing Things for What It Is with Naya. In this episode, I will be talking about family and drugs. I believe there is so many people dealing with this issue in the United States right now, probably all over the world, but I only live in the United States, so I only know what's going on here. But it's an important topic to me because I am one of those people who have been affected by it. I have never taken drugs, but, you know, some people in my family have. And I just wanted to share my experience so others can learn from it. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode and stay on. What does it mean to have a family? There are different types of families or family structures. There's a nuclear family. It's more of a traditional family, like a mother and a father in a home taking care of their child or children. There are single parent structure families, and that's just one parent raising their child as a single parent. There's no other outside help. It's just them. There's extended family, maybe like two or more adults in the house, maybe grandparents or, you know, cousins, aunts, whatever, that live in the house as well, that's trying to reach a goal in the same roof with children. And there's actually childless families as well. There's people that have families that don't have children or don't want children yet. And, you know, I read an article that said that's pretty rare, but I know quite a few families that don't have any children yet or aren't planning on having any children as well. Also, there's grandparent families where the grandparents raise their kids' children. There could be various reasons for that, and it is kind of common as well. So the type of family I come from is a family, grandparent family. My grandmother was and still is working. My grandmother was a stay-at-home mom for me, but trust me, she was still making money at home. She has always taken care of me, literally everything and everybody. She is 80 years old and raising her great-grandchildren right now as I talk about this. And just like them, she has had us since we were babies. So yes, I do consider my grandmother as my mother. She is the only one who has been and done everything for me, and I will forever be grateful for her taking on a responsibility that it was not hers, because my life could have been way worse than what it is. Me and her have had up and downs, but I will never discredit her from anything that she has done for me. My family is nowhere near perfect. I've realized that from a young age. My birth mother always lived close by. She raised my four siblings, my two brothers, and my two sisters on my mom's side. I wouldn't say we were raised together, but more so raised around each other. I had more of a close relationship with my younger sister. My older sister and my older brother were just older than me. We didn't really have much to connect on. As I said in my first podcast, I was raised with my cousins, Jihad and Mike. They were way older than me, like 10 years older than me. So again, there wasn't really any bond between us because they were in a whole different age group than me. So I was a kid anyway. They were already teenagers at the time. I don't have much to say about my dad other than I love him to death. He was not present most of my life. As a child, I used to cry and always ask why everybody else had a dad except me. Always wanted to buy Father's Day gifts for him. But at the time, nobody could get in contact with him. He was incarcerated, and I knew that. I also knew I had other siblings, but I never talked to them at the time. But we talk now, so that's all that matters. And with me saying all of this, I just want you guys to get a better understanding of me and maybe some of my family members of who I may talk about in different episodes as well, so you guys won't be so confused. I won't sugarcoat. Most of my family is toxic. Drugs have affected my family enormously. Not every single person was using, but the ones who weren't using still were affected. I will not be saying any of the names of who did what, and just out of respect, I don't talk to any of my family, but I still respect their privacy. This is just me explaining my behalf. So I will not be saying any names. In Baltimore, I guess back then drugs were the thing, I guess. My sister had told me that it's still heavy there. I haven't been to Baltimore much, so I'm not sure what goes on there. But one of my sisters told me that, you know, the drug rate in Baltimore is still outrageous. And, you know, I'm not really too surprised, you know. I'm an example my mother was using while she was pregnant with me. I actually did not have any knowledge of that until last year, actually. And I can't lie, that shit broke my heart. I already feel like my mom hates me, so that just added to, you know, that just added to it. She has said the most horrible things about me as a kid and as an adult. Hopefully she hears this one day. But I just want her to know that she has hurt me very deeply to the point where I really don't even feel comfortable enough to say I love you, because none of what she has done or said was love to me. I have accepted her for who she is and forgive her for myself, but I don't think there will ever be a relationship between me and her. I do wish her the best. I don't have anything bad to say about her. Like, again, this isn't me bashing anybody. This is me telling my truth. People need to hear this. People need to know that you're literally not the only one that's been going through this. And sometimes people feel alone and feel like they're the only ones going through things, and that's not the case. But with that being said, I was an emotional child, and as an adult, I still am. But the difference is I understand so much more now. I have more knowledge now. Why was always my question, but there was never really a real answer. But now I know. All the hurt, manipulation, narcissistic traits most of my family throw out is coming from their inner self. There are things that they cannot admit or bear to talk about without getting extremely mad. And that right there is the reasoning for my podcast journey. I know I'm not the only one out here that goes through things like this. There are a lot of broken families. Let me tell you, a lot. I could tell you about 10 people off the top of my head that have broken families. I kid you not. And I'm pretty sure there's thousands more, you know. And not even just from drugs, but that is definitely a factor in a lot of people's lives. And I'm not the only one. But I'm here to tell you all, no matter what you go through, things are going to get better. And if not with your family, you'll do fine on your own. I'm still young myself, so I still have improving to do, which I'm working on every day. The way this world is going, we as people and family need each other more than we think. So if you can repair that relationship, I wholeheartedly encourage you to fix it. And just love each other. Life is too short to fight and be angry at each other. The world is already against us. Listen, everyone. So I'm hoping that I can get, you know, a few family members on here to talk about certain subjects with me, and including this. Doesn't necessarily have to be our experiences, but like our thoughts. So, with that being said, I just want to encourage people and anybody that thinks that drugs is the way. Let me tell you, it's not. It is not the way. It definitely affects the people around you. It affects the people around you, I'm telling you. It's, even if you think your kids don't know, they know. They may not understand the full extent of what you're doing, but they know. Kids are very smart. Very smart. You always say, I bet you, most people always say, oh, my kid is so smart. Yes, they're very smart, and that's just a fact. They may not understand, but they see you. And the curiosity, when they get a little older, will, you know, affect them as well. They're going to want to try what you're doing. So that's why I strongly encourage people not to do any type of drugs around their kids. Also, because it's so hard to trust anybody that does drugs, because, you know, they're inconsistent. Sometimes they steal or take money, just manipulate and lie their way out of everything. They can't hold on to any type of relationships because of the addiction. And it's horrible. It's very horrible. And there's always, especially when it comes to a family, there's always at least one person that's playing the caretaker role. Think that their responsibility is to take care of you because you can't get it together. And most of the time, it's kids. It's your kids that do that. If you're an adult, it's the kids that feel like they need to take care of you. That's a burden. That's selfish. It's so selfish. It is. And I know it's hard to get off or not be addicted, but you have something to live for. Everybody has something to live for. And some people may see it, and some people may not see their purpose. I didn't think I had a purpose. Just last year around this time, I really didn't think I had a purpose. My mindset is completely different than it was last year. I really love myself a lot. I'm working hard towards everything. But everybody has a purpose on this earth. But you have to put in the effort to figure it out or get to where you're trying to go. Drugs isn't not the answer. It's going to bring you down. I'm not sure if any of you consider weed a drug. But a lot of people do. I consider it a drug as well. I have smoked weed. Last year I started smoking weed, in 2019 when I was living in Ohio. I started smoking. At first it was just for fun, you know, I didn't think anything of it. But then when I left Ohio, I was smoking a lot. I started smoking a lot. And little did I know, I was actually hurting a lot inside. Something really bad happened to me. And I'll talk about that in another podcast, so stay tuned for that. Something bad really happened to me. And I went through a whole lot that year. And I just couldn't bear it. I couldn't bear it anymore. And I didn't realize that me smoking weed was masking that hurt that I was feeling, because I had started to notice, like, if I went a few hours without smoking, I would just start bawling, crying for no reason. I just sit there like, yo, why am I crying? Like, I need to go smoke or something. Like, why the hell am I crying? I didn't realize what it was doing until maybe, because I stopped smoking before my birthday this year. My birthday July 2nd. I stopped smoking this year. So I stopped smoking in June. I told myself, I'm like, girl, you got to stop smoking before your birthday, because that's when I started smoking, on my birthday last year in 2019. So I was like, you got to stop smoking, girl, at least before your birthday. And let me tell you, I did. It was so hard to stop because I was so used to doing it, because I was doing it so heavy. But I did it. But after I stopped smoking, a whole week straight, I was crying every single day, every day. And that's when I realized, like, yo, I can't go back to smoking no more, ever, because this is what it does to me. It was masking up the things that I didn't face. That's why I stopped smoking it. I wanted to face everything that was going on with me inside that I was putting to the side. It's like, it's so hard to, you know, not do drugs because you feel like it's the only way you'll feel better. A lot of people feel that it's the only way you feel better. But let me tell you, it's not the only way. It's not. I know if you don't have, like, a support system, that's why I feel like it's so important to have a support system. Like, it could be family, it could be friends, and sometimes it could even be your coworkers as well. So, like, don't ever get discouraged about that. Don't ever think drugs and alcohol is the only solution, because it's not. And if any of my listeners would like to talk to me one-on-one, we can talk. I don't have a problem with that. I would rather you talk my head off instead of doing drugs to mask up your feelings. Put your feelings out there. Put them in the front of your face so you can deal with them. You know how, I guess, people call them your demons. You need to face that. You can't push them to the side. It's going to keep haunting you. That shit's still over your shoulder. You don't want to look back because you don't want to deal with it. But you have to. If you want to move past and be a better person, you have to deal with it. You have to face it. And I learned that myself. So don't think I'm just talking out of my head. I've learned that myself. I went through it. I'm telling you. And it's really important to get to know yourself. Get to know your flaws. What do you want to do? If you're sad, go work out. That's what I did. I started working out too. I started working out in May. And prior to that, I did used to work out, but I had stopped for like a whole year and a half. But I had got back into it because I gained weight. But I was like, girl, you need to work out. And I lost 10 pounds in a month by myself watching videos on YouTube. 10 pounds. I probably lost more now. I don't know how much I weigh now. I haven't weighed myself. But it was a goal for me. When you set a goal for yourself, that's what you're going to focus on. And even when it gets hard, you tell yourself, oh my God, I don't feel like doing this no more. Get that ass up and do it. Get your ass up and do that shit. I'm telling you, because once you're done with your goal, you're going to be so excited. You're going to be so proud of yourself. You're like, yo, that shit was hard, but I got through it. Yo, like, for real. Like, you guys thinking I'm joking. Like, go work out, meditate, occupy your mind, go spend time with your friends, go spend time with your family. Or you could even get a dog or an animal if you're not allergic. Because they're actually good companions as well. I have a pit bull. His name is Chance. I've had him for 3 years now since a puppy. And let me tell you, if I did not have Chance, I would have been down in a deep depression at times. Because he is so loving and genuine. An animal is so loving and genuine. All they want to do is be around you and rub on you. And you know, they look at you to take care of them. So that's another responsibility or something that could take your mind off things. You know, taking them on a walk, a long walk, taking them the dog park to play with them, or maybe they can meet another dog around the area if somebody else you know. You know, they have like little dog dates or something like that. Something to occupy yourself. Well, not even just a dog, a cat too. You know, I strongly suggest an animal. It doesn't have to be a dog or a cat, because any animal is a companion. But I definitely recommend, because they are so genuine. You know, there's so many messed up people in this world, and it doesn't feel like many people are genuine and they care about you. But your dog will care about you, okay? Because my dog loves me to death. He loves me to death. He follows me everywhere, literally. I can't even go to the bathroom by myself. If I go in the bathroom and close the door, he'll sit outside the bathroom and whine because he wants to come in there and just sit down and watch me pee. So,
You'll never be alone, ever.
The world can be so crazy, but don't give up so easily on the ones that you love. It's stressing as well. And if you feel like someone's stressing you to the point where it's really, really affecting you, then sometimes you need to just love from a distance and do what's best for you, because sometimes people and sometimes family mostly do hold you back if they're not really supportive or genuine. So don't let anybody hold you back. I know it's hard. I think about everything. I'm so scared to move out again because all I think about is leaving my grandmother. I don't want to leave her. I'm scared, like, if I leave and she might die or something. I know that sounds horrible, but that's what I really think. I actually cry about that a lot. So I know it's hard, but you really, really got to do the best thing you can for you, you know. And if your parents or anybody love you, they will understand. They will understand. Don't let anybody talk you out of following or doing the best things that's for you, that you feel is good for you. Do not let anybody talk you out of it. Whatever you want to set your mind to, go for it. Don't let anyone stop you. I'm telling you, you'll regret it if you let somebody stop you. You don't want to be 40 being like, damn, I should have did this, damn, I should have did that. No, do it now. So then when you're 40, you can't say that. You just be like, well, I tried it, you know, I didn't really like it, or I did it this way. You can't say I regret it when you're 40 because you already tried it, right? And even though you might not have liked it, you still did it. And I just want to share this with you, though. Love is when you feel your best when you are around a person. When the other person needs and wants are always important the most. Deep love is selfless in any type of relationship. Not even thinking twice about someone. If you don't feel that way towards anyone, it may not be a good situation for you. But if it is repairable, repair it. Love is what makes this world go round. So, if you love somebody and you want to tell somebody you love them, make sure it's for the right reasons and not for the wrong. And I want to talk about love in another podcast because I think it's important in this world, and we all need to reciprocate love the right way, not the toxic way. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode and stay tuned for the next one. Have a good day and stay safe. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Seeing Things for What It Is with Naya. I will be uploading bi-weekly, or sometimes I may try to upload weekly. Make sure to follow up with me on my social media accounts. Also, check out my YouTube channel. The links will be attached below, or I might just write them in the description box. Have a good rest of your day, ladies and gents, and I hope you guys stay safe.